Yeah. It's the Christmas episode of the Feudal Podcast. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to futilepodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and do that, and we will read it on the air, and it'll be fun. So, Christmas episode. You guys have got a little script that you've written up?
Oh, there's no script. Blaine provided a couple of pages worth of Mr. Freeze quotes.
Oh, pages worth of Mr. Freeze quotes?
Yeah.
And who's the best? Are you going to read them?
We're just going to use them at various times throughout this. We're just going to...
Okay.
When they fit.
Well, no, he did that earlier in a game. We were playing a game of Halo, and something happened, and Blaine looked down at his list, and then said something because guys were screaming at each other, and he said, "Hey, guys, chill out." he had to look at it. Right.
I heard earlier. I heard your buddy Mikey was here, and he said, "Ice to see you." But yeah, I took that as something from that episode of The Simpsons with McBain, where there was the Venus de Milo sculpture.
No, it's actually,
and the McBain arms come out, but McBain says that though. Right. So The Simpsons actually beat them to it.
Oh really?
Yeah,
are you
sure?
Because Batman and Robin came out in like...
No, The Simpsons episode with McBain.
97? Okay, yeah. I thought it was like 98.
Is that really that coming from the game? Yeah. It sounds like it's coming over here.
Oh, you just got terrible peripheral.
Wonder if it's not picking it up or not. I don't know.
Oh, it won't be. I'm going
to
be changing.
Yeah,
to go Blaine, why don't you read a couple? Leave me the good.
I don't want to read it because I don't do the accent.
The accent is terrible, though. You just do it. Look, try a fake Arnold accent right now.
I can't. I don't want to. It's embarrassing.
Tonight's forecast: a freeze is coming. That's all you have to do.
A freeze is coming.
You should read them.
Nothing frustrates a man like a frigid wife. And then, of course, you added Adam and Evil in there because...
I thought it was fun. Really clever.
Adam and Evil, that's pretty clever. That has nothing to do with ice, though. You see, he says, "You're not sending me to the cooler." I like how you... did you bold
in the... Yeah, I did, actually. I bold and I italicized. You're not sending me to the cooler.
Here's my favorite one again. Now, imagine... So these are punchlines, right? These are things that are said... as a snappy kind of, right?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, "Ice to meet you. Chill out. Tonight hell freezes over.
Uh-huh.
The Iceman cometh."
Uh-huh.
"Ice to see you."
Uh-huh.
You wrote "Tonight hell freezes over" twice.
Oh,
what killed the dinosaurs? "The Ice Age." That's one of them. Okay. Here's one he says to Poison Ivy at the end.
Uh-huh.
This is the snappy short punchline. "I am your new cellmate, and I have come to make your life a living hell. Prepare for a bitter harvest. Winter has come at last." He says four sentences.
Mm-hmm.
It's forever. It's like 1,000 letters. He keeps talking. Like, wouldn't she have just punched him by then or something? We should just talk about Batman and Robin.
Entranced. His words.
"In this universe, there's only one absolute. Everything freezes."
The law of entropy, of course.
Listen to this one. This one is terrible. "If revenge is a dish best served cold, then put on your Sunday finest. It's time to feast."
They told me, our newborn king to see, our finest gifts we bring, to lay before the king. This is to honor him. When we come, baby Jesus, I am a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king.
Okay, so Christmas films. Basically, the theme for tonight, being that it's going to be the Christmas episode, is usually it seems that Christmas movies are all about remembering to appreciate your family and trying to acquire objects to exemplify that love for your family. Most are some kind of road picture, so like planes, trains, and automobiles. And some can be seasonal mood disorder themes in terms of the characters, like It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol are both based around characters that have to go through emotional problems and then realize that they should love the world and peace and all that. I have a list of some of my favorite Christmas films, and you guys are welcome to chime in if you like. Lethal Weapon, the original Lethal Weapon, it's a Christmas movie. Yeah, Mr. Joshua, you know, he drives.
Yeah, Die Hard.
I got Die Hard on here.
Die Hard 2 also.
Die Hard 2. I didn't put Die Hard 2. I should.
Die Hard 2 is the one where I think it's even more Christmassy because there's a few different moments in there where he says. The cop gives him the ticket, and he's like, "Come on, it's Christmas!"
And then at the end, he shoots him, right?
Then at the end, Dennis Franz like rips up the ticket, and he's like, "Hey, it's Christmas! What are you gonna do?"
Yeah, exactly. Ernest Saves Christmas,
right? That's one of your favorites. Are you?
That's
listening?
One of my favorite Christmas movies.
Because Ernest Saves Christmas is a really bad movie.
Oh, of course.
Okay, all right, just checking.
Oh, that's right. We only talk about good movies on this podcast. I'm sorry, Zach. No, wait, I really better just throw this list out. Yeah. I've got my list.
The only thing on your list should be Miracle on 34th Street. That's the only thing that should be on your list. That and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Number three was Miracle. Number eight is Rocky IV. Because he has to fight Drago on Christmas Day.
Right.
That was pretty stretching it. Die Hard, It's a Wonderful Life. Home Alone's a good Christmas movie. Christmas Story, Gavin Night Stalker is the dad.
Right.
Screaming and cursing. Scrooge is a good
Kolchak,
one.
Kolchak the Night Stalker.
Yeah, Kolchak the Night Stalker. Scrooge with Bill Murray. And then there was a movie just called Santa Claus that was kind of weird. About Santa Claus. Yeah.
You see Santa Claus...
The Escape Clause?
No,
not the Santa Claus. It was an old movie, in the 80s. The plot is really weird. It's, at the beginning, this old guy is, delivering presents, and he freezes to death, and then, the old, first Santa Claus... It's like he becomes the next Santa Claus. It's very strange.
Was it Ingmar Bergman?
Mm-mm. It wasn't that strange.
It's still, it's got... I think it's got what's his name?
Give me one.
It's got, Arthur?
Give me a medium-sized one.
It's got Arthur in it.
Oh, are you talking about the Santa Claus the movie?
Yeah.
Because I thought you just said Santa Claus. Are you talking about the one with Dudley Moore? And,
yeah, Dudley Moore.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a terrible movie.
It was a weird movie.
Yeah.
I liked the way as a kid.
Seth, tell your mother she makes good cookies. You can edit that out.
Why would I?
So what do you think about the thing about Christmas movies that are
a lot of them are road trip, like I said.
There's Christmas movies, then there's movies where Christmas just happens to be the background.
Something like
time.
Love Actually, where it's just sort of an extra bit of gimmick to add the schmaltz.
And then the Die Hards and Lethal Weapon and
Batman and Robin.
I think though that Home Alone is really a Christmas movie.
Oh yeah,
because it all revolves around the actual.
The people being gone,
yeah.
The family being separated.
And Home Alone, to me, still feels it's the most, Christmassy of even, movies about...
The music even
Santa
kind of works with
that. Yeah, because it's got this... music's actually part of it, this choral, choir...
Was that John
majestic
Williams?
Thing.
I forget who it was.
But something about Home Alone just always meshes really well with Christmas with me.
One of your wife's favorite movies?
That is one of her favorites, but I liked that long before. I remember watching that in the theater.
Back when you could make your own decisions about things?
Yeah, exactly.
Back when that was okay?
I really like Christmas Story. I really like Christmas Vacation, which is a terrible movie. That's also... John Hughes wrote that, too.
Really?
Yeah, he wrote that. He did.
I don't think I've enjoyed a Chevy Chase movie ever.
Home Alone was his...
Except Caddyshack. Caddyshack.
You didn't like the first National Lampoon's Vacation?
I've seen the European one.
With Eric Idle?
Well, it's got Chevy Chase in it.
And Eric Idle's the biker that they keep running into, running
really?
Over all
I
the
know that they win the vacation on Pig in a Poke, right? Uh-huh. With Adam's Family, Gomez guy, uh-huh. as the host of Pig in the Poke. And so... But yeah, and I thought it was all right. It was all right, but whatever. I'm not a big fan of...
Gosh, man. Listen to this guy. National Lampoon's Vacation. Doesn't like it. Hasn't even seen the first one.
I haven't seen...
Shut up. If you consider yourself fans of comedy, you have to have seen these old 80s raunchy comedies. You have to watch them. National Lampoon's Vacation is very funny. I thought Christmas Vacation was pretty funny. It's got some really stupid parts in it. It's mostly him just getting hit in the nards. and falling off ceilings and roofs and things like that. Trading Places has Christmas in the background because
it does.
Yeah, and at one point he's in Santa clothes. That's all he has, and he gets really drunk. And this kid asks him for something for Christmas, and he goes, he finishes drinking his whiskey and goes, bah.
Trading Places is the one with.
Dan Aykroyd and Chevy and Eddie Murphy. Okay. Chevy Murphy. I just like that he made just some really gross, weird noise instead of saying anything. He just goes, bah! And the kid just all freaked out.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs
TV
of stopping.
TV series always have their Christmas specials.
Some of them do. South Park, and, Family Guy.
Yeah, Futurama had several with John Goodman at first, and then
Simpson
after that.
Simpson just did another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, actually. It was a pretty good episode.
And they're generally about...
Futurama only did two, and they both had John Goodman.
John Goodman didn't do it the second time because he wasn't available. It's the guy who plays Bender's voice did it.
Oh, John DiMaggio?
Yeah. Who looks kind of like John Goodman, except for bald. I mean,
I know.
Bald.
I saw him at Comic-Con. He almost knocked me over to get a cigarette.
Really?
Oh, I don't want to go to Comic-Con.
How was Comic-Con?
It was years ago.
I have a Comic-Con symbol for my Xbox.
I saw that.
Thing.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty lame because I've never been.
It's just a place where people sell stuff and talk about stuff.
And you get to see stuff.
Wayne likes seeing.
Yeah, I did
like,
see the first the 2 years I went. I did see an episode of Futurama earlier.
Wayne watches all the he'll wait for like high res trailers to download for movies that are coming out in like a year, and he'll sit there and he watches all of them.
Like,
what did you think of The Dark Knight?
It's pretty cool.
The trailer?
Yeah,
I thought it was good. Did you see
the six minute
one. He's proud of the fact that he saw the 6 minute.
Well, I was wondering if
that's supposed to be that's the prequel thing for I Am Legend, right?
It was shown in the IMAX.
Yeah, IMAX, I just thought it was just for IMAX. No, I just saw the 2 minute trailer, and to me it looked. I really liked the first one. Something about this one just doesn't look like it's gonna do it for me.
I don't know, I want to like it because I like the first.
No, one. I want to like it, but I'm looking at it and I'm seeing like. Visually, it looks really very doesn't look like very stylized and dark. And then like one of the shots, there's a lot of, like they're really emphasizing that he's got the bat cycle, which is it's just stupid. The bat cycle is stupid, and there's a shot where he essentially like biffs it on the bat cycle.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what's the point of that? You know, it's like
to show that he's gonna have adversity.
He's dramatically facing the Joker.
He has to learn how to drive the bat cycle.
It looks like the interesting aspect of it might just be him deciding maybe this was a bad idea. It looks like at some point somebody, and maybe even Wayne himself, takes an axe to the bat signal, or maybe Gordon does it. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've got all the people back. They've got. Lucius Fox, they've got Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, and Gary Oldman. That's
like
supporting
cast. I warned everyone about, you're bringing back too many people.
Well, those people are all the
I know,
the
but I mean,
character. You were talking about villains. You
talking about villains and
bringing back Cillian Murphy is.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy's back in it again. Like,
and
it's just too many
Harvey
bad guys and good guys.
Maybe play.
Yeah, they said
not in this one. That would
they said there's a possibility that in the end
they might like you know show like
they
know,
said
well, they could allude to it.
They
yeah.
said they
kinda
filmed
like they
it
did with the Joker.
They said they filmed it and they may not put it in.
Excellent.
Well, they could allude it if they want.
See, I want to have three bad guys. It'll be like Spider-Man.
Something about
Spider-Man
this. The thing is, it just doesn't
create.
It doesn't look dark enough.
Maybe there
right
could
now.
Be an emo Bruce Wayne one part. He'll be around like this.
Well, this is going to be the one where he's not going to be emo, but he's going to be brooding in this one.
He's always been emo.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always emo. He's like, my parents died.
Wah, wah, wah. People need to get over that. I don't know what they want in their superheroes. They just want them to be constantly emotionless and badass all the time.
Yes.
Like, but then that's no fun, you know?
Is there a character like that?
Though I'd prefer them to be like that than in a lot of comic book heroes, because what they do instead is they say snappy witticisms constantly. When they're punching someone, they're like, you know... Yeah, they say something. They say something with the word jaw in it, or knuckle, or something like that. And then, like when they kick someone in the butt, there's something about bottoms up, or something. Like there's all, they're always, you know, there's always jokes going on. And IRL, there is no IRL with this, but it just seems better that someone would be just completely stoic and.
No, I mean, I like that for certain levels. I think like a show like Cowboy Bebop can do that.
Yeah,
because it can be fun with like when he's fighting Asimov in the second episode, and that's all jokey and stupid. But then like. episode 5, it's like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
He doesn't say stupid stuff while he's fighting. He, like, pauses and he'll say something.
Yeah, he does. He's like, you know, wasting all that money for a fistful of Wulongs on a mutt.
Right. But he doesn't, but, I mean, I watching last night, like, you know, he doesn't talk until, like, the guy's, like, punches out, and then he, like, they stand there, and then he says something, and then they start, then they do some more stuff and jump on some tables.
It's not at the
moment. Exactly. And this is, like, you know, something, like, using the energy to say something as you're punching them. Maybe this will teach you about that. and then punch them out.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh.
Yeah, Blaine really wanted to talk about Jingle All the Way.
Well,
What do you love about Jingle All the Way?
If you're playing the actor name name game trying to connect people, Jingle All the Way is actually a fantastic nexus because you've got Sinbad and Schwarzenegger in the same film.
Sinbad
connects
to Phil Hartman, which connects to every single Saturday Night Live movie.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you can do that. And I really hate that you and other people are starting to take Kevin Bacon out of the name. It's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Well, you don't have to use Kevin Bacon.
But
I don't
do,
usually.
Because he's in everything. Or his wife is. Or John Travolta is. And you just have to link that to Phenomenon. There you go.
Well, Pulp Fiction is big. Samuel L. Jackson's another good one to use.
Mm-hmm. But if you can't find someone through those guys, then you can go through Kira Sedgwick, who was in Phenomenon, with Travolta, who was in etc.
He was in Broken Arrow with Frank Wally.
Yeah, and Frank Wally was
He was in Swimming with Sharks with Kevin Spacey.
So say you want to link John Madden to Kevin Bacon, right? So John Madden was a co-host on. Now see, that's hard to do. Like, can you only have to use movies?
You could probably think of some stupid movie he was in.
He was a coach. Yeah, that's true.
And then he played himself in, and then you're good.
Well, the thing is,
was he in Necessary Roughness with?
No, he wasn't. I'm trying to think of something he was in. He used to co-host a show with Howie Long, and Howie Long was in what's it called? Broken Arrow.
No. Oh yeah, he was in Broken Arrow.
Yeah. What, do you have anything to add to this?
What, Jingle All the Way?
Yeah.
Jingle All the Way.
Come see my new movie, Jingle All the Way.
Isn't Tom Hanks' wife in that too?
Yeah. Rita Big Tits. What's her last name? All I know is she's got huge tits and kind of like a horse face. So you kind of have to...
I never get past the face.
I can't get past the face either, but she really does have gigantic...
I never noticed that part.
...womanly, motherly tits. I'm sure they hang quite far. Oh, look, they're about to bang. Yeah, this is the part, I think. Yeah, see, now I'll do a play-by-play. So they're kissing softly and seductively, and he's grabbing the nape of her neck and the butt in front of her ear and jamming each other's tongues in there. Yeah, now he's giving her the business. And he's not erect, obviously, because he just moved so that you could see his dick if it was there. And see, like, her arms barely covering up where her nipple would be, and it's all in slow motion. That's where babies go. She's writhing in passion. He's moving in slow motion. Their hair is about the same length, so you can't tell where one ends and the other one begins. And there's a lot of rocking and rolling, and you know, the whole time Len Wiseman is like, "Give it to her, give it to my wife, give it to her harder, yeah, your ass looks great." And he's saying that to Scott Speedman, of course. This is just getting awesome. Oh, and then it ends without you ever seeing any bush or anything.
And then a hell beast eats them.
No, they're vampires.
Oh, that's right, they are hell beasts. I watched another episode of that, His Dark Place, or whatever. Yeah,
Dark Places.
Dark Place. That show was hilarious.
I thought so, too.
I've only seen the two, and one was the Scotch Mist, and the other one was the one where the green stuff. But they both have, like a musical number in them. Mm-hmm. And then the hospital's got its own bar. And they have a bar fight. I don't know, I just thought it was really funny.
That's great.
Anyway, you guys see anything new you want to talk about? Did you see I Am Legend?
I didn't.
I assumed that he did also, and he didn't.
I was going to.
Neither did I. I will see it. I guess it's kind of short. It's like only, like, 100 minutes or something. It's not not like a 2.5 hour long epic.
And all the reviews, reviews I've read say that
good for the first half and
great
gets down
for the first hour.
That's exactly what I expected to think too. Is that
they say the first half is like the part of the 28 days later where there's no one around and it's all creepy.
That's the interesting part. That's the last man on earth scenario. And then once you throw zombies or other people, and
apparently
in politics,
if you've read the original,
they took away the ending. Thing,
they took away, they changed the ending of that.
I don't know the ending.
They make some new twist. You know.
Oh well, I still want to see it without knowing the ending.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know what it is, but it said something like it was a twist that M. Night Shyamalan might have written if he was, and then they used some sort of euphemism for getting high.
So. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Well, what about Jingle All the Way, though?
I don't know.
What do you think Turbo was? Turbo Man was pretty cool. What do you think was worse, Jingle All the Way or House Guest?
I don't think I've seen
House. You didn't see House Guest?
Which one is that?
It's the one with Phil Hartman.
It's got Sinbad. That's the whole reason.
It's Sinbad. And the director.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that.
The director of it, I think Michael Bay watched that movie when he was younger and was like, you know who's a great director? This guy. He's awesome. Because here's what happens in a Michael Bay movie, right?
Michael Bay was using an Apple bong to get high one day on TBS.
Yeah, there's guys shooting each other in car crashes and people screaming and black guys posing coolly. And there's lots of fast cuts in between that. There's about less than a second of a shot, and then it cuts, and that's his MO, right? The house guest guy cuts faster than that. And here's what's happening in the movie: people are talking.
No big action sequences.
It's house guest. It's a comedy, right? It's ostensibly a comedy, and the cuts are like cut. Cut,
like some
cut,
kind of Eisenstein Kuleshov effect thing, you know? Like, we're going to see if we can create a different emotional response based on how
it's just constant. And like, Sinbad won't shut up. Everyone else is talking, and like, it's the most annoying. And I've seen it like 40 times. And
you can't turn away.
It's great.
It hypnotizes you with its cuts.
And Phil Hartman plays this like schlub who can't be enough of a man for his family and. But he is, but he's really not, you know, he's not giving his wife the business enough, and
oh, is that whole aspect of it? I thought he was a dentist.
Yeah, he is a dentist, but
he's, well, then he's just got dentist.
But
he's not
manning up, you know, he's not being the full man he could be. And Sinbad has equal problems. Some really bad mobsters, terrible guys who are, I mean, what I mean by bad is that they really suck at their job, are trying to catch him and kill him. This really big fat guy who's really stupid, and then a smaller guy who's pretty stupid also, but he's like the mean one of the two.
He's got the short man complex.
And they work for this guy named Happy, and one of the jokes is when Happy gets angry, they say, "Happy's not very happy right now."
That's awesome.
And Sinbad is always playing the lottery. Mm. And then in the end, He wins the lottery. He wins the big spin scratcher. Yeah. And he gives it to Happy and his mobsters to pay off the debt so they won't try to kill him anymore. And so then it shows Happy and his two mobster henchmen at the very end on the big spin. And Sinbad, he's like, oh no, they're on the big spin. I forgot I gave them that thing. And they spin the thing and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And ends on like zero. I don't think there is that in the big spin.
I think there's 13.
And he's like, yeah. Like they got their comeuppance. Mm-hmm. They got the one spot on the wheel on the big spin that is like one in a million to get. Which is like, you get $0.
They got Robot Devil, huh?
Oh, man. They got Robot Devil, yeah.
That was.
Oh, I put it on there as an active.
Yeah, it was just as an active. The best part about that was that you totally knew it was going to be the episode where Bender and Fry have to deal with the fact that they have different things. Like, up till then, you're like,
right.
he's going to get Bender's hands, and that's going to be the way it's going to go.
Right.
And it's going to be, but nope, they twisted it around. It was last episode of Futurama.
Yep.
Till the DVD.
Did you watch that?
Mm-mm.
I haven't seen it yet.
Bender,
yeah. The first of four or whatever it is.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Isn't it supposed to be on the Comedy Central or something?
Yeah, they're going to show them on there after.
When Adult Swim loses it at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then they're going to probably.
And then the ratings are going to plummet.
Oh.
It will be bad. But maybe they'll keep playing Death Note and stuff.
They can carry with Family Guy. They need to get another show like that, though. The problem is there aren't any. Christmas. Wayne, do you believe that Jesus existed? Are you one of the people who thinks that he wasn't even a real person? There's some people who think.
I think I read somewhere that, I don't know, there was like that he existed, but like he, like there was like, you know, there's like a whole bunch of other people like Jesus, you know, but he was just like the most popular one or something.
He's the amalgamation of what a bunch of people thought. Like, you've seen Life of Brian, right? The Monty Python movie.
Yeah, I don't remember that much.
In that one, there's like a bunch of people. You walk through the streets, and there's a bunch of people like standing on these like big stone stands, yeah. And they're all like, "I'm the Son of God." They're like, yeah. "I am God." And then like someone says, "Brian's the Son of God too," and he goes, "No, I'm not." And everyone looks at him, and they all start following him because he says he's not God, so they think he is.
Yeah.
And so that might be have some, you know, that
like just. I was wondering,
not that I think that I'm.
Yeah, I know. No,
but I'm saying this for the two people that Jesus. Are listening. I believe, and you don't, which is why you're better than me, right? That's what you think, right?
Yes, I do.
There's actually this really funny thing that happened on Conan O'Brien once.
You want a cookie?
I don't want one right now.
Oh, they're good.
They're really good. Yeah.
I'm eating them.
They have just the right amount of frosting on it.
I know, it's not strong frosting either. It's like.
Did you hear the podcast where Ian was talking about a girl frosting his cookies? Oh, I can't talk about that anymore.
What?
So
eating pizza?
I'd eat her pizza. I'd eat her out.
You guys. You guys and your disgustingness.
There was this this episode of Conan where Jim Carrey was on, and he came out and he said, "Merry Christmas, Conan." He said, he's like, "Merry Christmas to you." And he's like, "I'm glad we can say Merry Christmas to each other." He's like, "People want to say Happy Holidays now, and it takes Christ out of holiday." He said, "So I'm going to tell you right now on national TV, have a Christy, Christy Christmas." And Conan just like, you know, doubled over in laughter because it was so ridiculous to say have a Christy, Christy Christmas. And then like the opposite of that is that in Futurama. Futurama follows the same sort of like irreverent Christian theme type thing there where like God is mentioned frequently and people are churchgoers. In Futurama, they're not churchgoers, but in Simpsons they are. Yet, none of them professes to actually believe in God. And Homer's actually met God several times in the show. And like the one where God like is going to kill him and he begs with God not to. And then at one point he says, "I don't, you know, I want to know the secrets of the universe." He goes, "You'll know when you die, my son."
6 months?
And he goes, "I don't want to wait that long." He goes, "You can't wait 6 months."
That was when Homer was going to start his own religion.
Yeah, center, right.
Stay home from church.
Yeah, gosh. And that, I think, I don't know if that was that same episode. There was one episode where he was talking about how he professed, he told, it was Ned or somebody said something about how he wasn't a very good Christian. He's like, "Are you kidding?" He's like, "I know all about Jeebus." And he like ran. And then later on in the episode, like somebody was like kicking him off a plane or something for being like for saying something about God, and he said, "But I don't even believe in Jeebus." he can never pronounce the name right.
Mm-mm.
But the point is, like, you know, that God and Christianity was something that was frequently a topic, and it was like they were in constant contact with that. And in Futurama, it's mentioned a lot, mostly in mocking stuff, like Leela and Fry especially are always saying things about how stupid religion is, and especially Christianity in general. But their Christmas episodes are funny because they just call it Xmas. Mm-hmm. And they say, like, you know, there's like they just go straight to the point and say that, you know, Christ has nothing to do
mm-hmm.
with Christmas or what Christmas has become in these days, not to mention what it is in the year 3000 or whatever.
Exactly.
And but they do refer to Jesus coming back when the in the zombie uprising of like 2600.
Yeah. It was a brief footnote in a larger scheme when they were talking about
that. Jesus did come back in the zombie uprising. Or they talk about like when they said something about like, "Oh, that hasn't been like that since Jesus' second coming," or mm-hmm. something like that. Like he came and, you know, nothing else changed. So they definitely don't love God on that. Then the one episode where Bender was met God in space, and he was just like, Bender said, "So you're just like kind of a mind consciousness of God that had collided with some sort of satellite and like had become like a supercomputer thing." He's like, "Oh, you could say that, something like that. Yeah, sure. You know, like
That's the guy that wrote that episode was, I don't remember
Richard Dawkins.
No, it wasn't Richard Dawkins. But he's a pretty
good
writer.
Show me those beautiful breasts, Mrs. Garrison.
he's written some pretty good episodes.
Oh, we're scissoring. Scissory timbers.
Christmas without you, I'll be so blue. Just thinking about you. Decorations of red.
Oh, that's actually green. But okay, so my Christmas pitch. Okay, 14-year-old kid finds out that his army dad won't be able to make it home he stows away on a cargo ship because his uncle works at the airplane port or something, and then the plane gets rerouted and it takes the kid like a whole year-long journey to finally meet up with his dad, so it's like Christmas to Christmas, and in that time some stuff happens. He learns a lot about like himself and about life and stuff, but when he meets his dad, it's on the other side of an interrogation room. Wow. His dad's like, you know, so like the kid either ends up becoming a terrorist or something like that. So that was just my idea for a potential Christmas
movie.
You
can't say something.
I got kind of heavy.
You gotta tell me what happened.
I'm an exec.
To
the kid?
He was the one getting interrogated.
It's just a victim of circumstances kind of thing. He just ends up at the wrong place at the wrong time towards the end. But he's learned more about himself and about not being so self-centered and
things
like
that. But he's in jail.
Kind of, but not really. He's just in an interrogation room, you know. He doesn't mean you're going to jail.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I can't not think cop stuff now because I've been watching The Wire, like, incessantly. I watched 3 episodes of season 3 yesterday and 3 episodes of it today, and I finished off season 2 last week. I'm just trying to plow through it, just trying to get it watched so that I can move on to other things. But it's been pretty good. Have you seen that show?
The Wire?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. HBO.
I've never even heard of it. Oh, I don't have HBO. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my pitch.
Oh, you have a pitch? I think you have to.
In the year 1200
AD,
1200 AD, there is
200 years after Dragonheart.
Oh my gosh. You've already ruined it. What if the dragon had to talk to someone in Womack?
Get on my back, boys.
I'll fly after that piece of shit.
You know, I could do it before. I lose my cool, I lose my nerve.
And I can't do any funny.
There's a peasant named Nicholas. One day he comes back from the hunt.
St. Nicholas?
Yeah, it is St. Nicholas. He's not a saint yet, though.
Pre-saint.
He comes from back from the hunt, right? And he's got a gazelle strapped to his,
haunches.
To his haunches. He's hoisting a gazelle across the land. He comes back home to his thatch roof cottage. And it's on fire. He runs inside, and his whole family has been raped and murdered.
And burning.
They're still fine. They're fine. It's just the roof is on fire.
The roof is on fire?
Yeah. I guess they're not really fine. They've all been murdered. So he comes in. He screams, no.
No.
He takes the blood. There's blood everywhere. There's just blood everywhere.
So they were murdered, or
they were raped and murdered.
Oh, okay.
he takes their blood that's smeared everywhere, and he takes the clothes he's wearing. He takes them off and rubs them. He rubs them in the blood, completely turning them completely blood red. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on a magical journey to try to find who killed and raped and murdered his
in
family.
His blood-soaked red
in his blood-soaked red clothing.
And as he does, he grows a beard.
No,
and
he grows a beard and all stuff. He keeps hunting. He keeps hunting until he gets to about 68 years old. And one day, in the depths of Romania, he finds out who killed his family. It was Dracula. And so Dracula and him have this big, huge fight. And Dracula ends up biting Santa Claus. But Santa Claus kills him, right? He's Santa Claus. I just spoiled it for you.
Yeah. Can he kill him with his a knife boot?
No, he didn't have a knife boot. No, he shoved a reindeer. And because it's like wood, right? His antlers are kind of like wood. And he twists it around, and it just kind of like does an egg beater thing to Dracula's chest. And he's like, oh, you got me. And he dies.
What might he say if it were a cold day and he were being killed?
He would say, tonight hell freezes over. What killed the dinosaurs?
The ice of me.
It's from Futurama.
Yeah, the giant brain. What killed the dinosaurs?
Then it showed him, like, shooting lasers at him.
Shooting dinosaurs. And so then, anyway, this guy says, I now take on the name of, I now take up Satan's cause, right? Because he decides he's going to get revenge on everyone in the world. And he finds out, because he has really bad sources, he finds that what bothers people the most is if they receive presents they don't know where they came from in the middle of the night. So he goes, his worldwide revenge scheme is to drop presents off at everyone's house and freak them out once a year, right? And just freak them out. And over the years, the name gets changed from Satan's Cause to Santa Claus, and he becomes a beloved guy. But he lives forever because he was basically bitten by a vampire.
But he lives up in the pole where it's dark most of the time.
Yeah.
30 days of night, if you will.
There's a lot of days of night, and then the rest of the year he vacations in Boca Raton.
Boca.
That's it. And it's called,
Satan's Claws?
It's called, no, Satan's Cause.
Okay.
Not Satan's Claws. Gosh. This guy doesn't know about the three seashells. it's called, The Bloody Rape and Murder of St. Nicholas's Family. leads to his vampiric... It's got like a colon, and then it tells the whole thing. It's like the three burials of Marquellus Estrada or whatever.
Or
it's
that like Fiona Apple album.
Yeah. I totally like that one. That's my pitch. Which do you think was the better Christy?
Vote at futilepodcast at gmail.com.
Oh, don't say right now. You have to wait till you listen to the podcast and then send in an email.
You might bias the listeners. Like, I really don't care. I just want to. I'm new. I'm just learning. And then they just cut to the jerk guy's face, and he's got like the most terrible face. He just goes, "A rematch? Oh, darsh!" And that just gets me on the floor every time because it's just like he didn't say anything about that. They're just like, pause. Plot a rematch. Oh, darsh.